Everybody hear me? And maybe we should invite you to come give us testimonies. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's Psalm 119. And he does this for us all, gives us his own testimony. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your saving power. You're able to save to the uttermost all they that come to you. And we thank you for your word. Lord, as we focus on just a few things now from your word, we don't want to leave and not hear what thus says the Lord. We know every answer you gave to the enemy, it is written, is what you said. It is written. Now, Lord, every answer for us to the evil and the things abound and around us, it is written. Lord, write it upon our hearts with a pen of iron, Lord, that will not easily be erased or removed. We thank you, you are doing it, as you said. I will write my law upon their hearts, and you've done this. So we thank you and we praise you again for your word. In Jesus' name. Now, I've been going through a series which I will forego this morning because we've used a lot of our time. I've been talking about the priesthood of all believers, which I believe to be the purpose of God for man. Man, when I say man, it's inclusive, man and woman. He made them male and female and called them man. So let's remember that. We get ridiculous things about our own obvious creation and condition as men and women. The Bible is very simple. He made them, he called them man, he made them male and female. So in a wonderful way, each of us, male, female, express his love the way that he wants to be expressed through his creature man. Now this morning, we'll forego the priesthood. I just want us to look at Psalm 46. Now some of these things I may have mentioned on Thursday as we spoke from the Gospels. And you'll probably, you remember, we spoke from the Gospel of Luke. So if you have your Bible, we want to just read the word. We are the people of the book. This, by the way, is written in the Quran. Christians are known by the Islamic world as, actually the Jews and the Christians are known as the people of the book. This is what Muhammad identified them as. He was quite impressed by these people, especially the Christians. The Jews didn't treat him so well. They were somewhat cruel to him, but he found a home among Christians. And he was an illiterate man, could not read, could not write. He was dependent upon others. Later on, I understand that it was actually his wife, his last wife, one of numerous wives that he had who was Jewish, is the one that actually helped pen the Quran. But as far as we know, he couldn't write. But he wrote about them, he wrote about us, those Christians, and he said, they are the people of the book. What's the book? It's the Bible. So this morning we want to open to one of those places where we are instructed and helped for the days and hours in which we live. So in Psalm 46, let's just observe a few things, that this is a psalm of the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were a priestly line. They were musical people, gifted musical people. They wrote hymns and songs, or we would call them psalms. And they had a great love for the Lord. They went through a horrible time. We won't talk about that in the wilderness. But they are a special vessel by the Lord. And this is one of those psalms that they wrote. Now, I also believe that actually Hezekiah had a big hand, the son of David, King Hezekiah, had a big hand in this particular psalm. And let's set the scene. What was going on? Well, he was surrounded by an army, an Assyrian army that was 135,000 strong. 135,000 strong. He was probably outnumbered, probably 10 to 1, maybe more. And he called on the Lord. And this is one, what I believe is a psalm that he helped compile during this time. So imagine what he saw as he wrote this. And then, of course, it has myriads of applications to each one of us in this room. As we look at it and read it, imagine your own situation, my situation. And we'll see a few things here that are very much in the New Testament as well, spoken by the Lord in the New Testament by Jesus himself. So Psalm 46, 1, I will not go on very long. God is our refuge and our strength. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Now we sang a song, we used to sing it in a church where I came to the Lord. It was we called it a camp meeting song. And Victory in Jesus. And I noticed it said, we have a mansion up there. Let me challenge us about something. We may have a mansion coming, but do I live in that mansion now? Do I realize that the refuge for my life right now, what is it? Shall I say, who is it? It's Jesus Christ. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, I read that as a young Christian, and I could not understand it for the life of me. I understand it a little better now, what it means to put down my own strength, my own dependence, my own clever mind, and all of those things to try to figure it all out. I must remind myself every day, God is my refuge. Jesus is my refuge. Doesn't matter what's going on around me right now. It really doesn't. Jesus is my refuge, and he's my strength. A very present help in trouble. Now, the idea here is the word that is actually used, the exact same word in Matthew. Are there not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? So Jesus is talking about the importance of us as individuals, as people. We often have been rejected by others. We often have made a mess of our lives. We often have done things that have separated us from our families, have separated us from our friends. Even as a Christian, we can be separated, angry at each other, unhappy, feel mistreated, feel isolated, and so on. Yet we are reminded here that looking at the sparrows, the most common of all birds, wherever we go on the earth, sparrows are the most common of all birds. Now listen, how wonderful what this is. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. There's a context here. The birds are common. Our hairs are common. I mentioned on Thursday, you remember I said I wish I had a little more hair. Maybe someday I'll get it back. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Now, I want us to note especially, and not one of them falls to the ground. Let me give you the real sense of what this is actually saying from the scripture. It's actually saying, it isn't that God is standing on us there in heaven and he sees a sparrow fall there. He sees two of them fall there. He looks, oh, there's another three of them. That's the wrong idea. The idea in the Greek is that God is present at the fall of every sparrow. He's present. He isn't just observing his creation. He is not just observing us in our situation. He is with us, and he never ceases not to be with us anymore because of what Jesus did. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth is removed. Now, can the earth be removed? They used a lot of apocalyptic pictures in the East, and still do. This is one of those apocalyptic, you know, the earth being removed, or the stars falling to the earth. And to show you the symbolism, what if a star were to hit the earth? Well, it wouldn't hit anything. It would just sweep it away. We know how big they are. So let's think about what might be meant by that. Well, it's the idea that the stars fall, the things that are important to us, the things that shine one day for us and mean so much to us, and they fall to the ground. That is, they're not as glittery, not as important, not as sure as we once thought they were. Even though the earth be removed, the earth will never be removed out of its course. But sometimes when we're in the middle of a life trauma, COVID might have been that for some of us. It probably was on some level. Maybe we've lost a loved one in the middle of that COVID. Maybe I've made a wreck of my life. Maybe I'm just unhappy. I'm just sad. We feel as though the earth under our feet is removed. The Lord is reminding us not to fear, even though that may happen. And though the mountains be carried, again, something very big, something that, well, I can count on that mountain. Into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar, though the mountains shake with swelling, God is with us. That's the picture for us. Now, this is a hard lesson. It's a hard concept for us because we want to be a strong Christian. We want to be a strong believer. Yet Paul said that he gloried in his weakness. Many times the weakness that we feel the most is when the Lord is the nearest to us. And we need to remind our hearts of this. He's my strength, not me. He's my helper. He's the one that stands by me. Though all these things be moved, he does not leave my side. Now you'll notice the little word Selah. It's a musical pause or a musical interlude. And what we like to say in the English is think about what was just said. So every time you read that in the psalm, that's what you do. You take a pause. You don't just la, 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 as our brother Ed says, read the word. But you pause and think, what does this mean? How does this apply to me and my situation? So we pause. Though the world be removed, God is my refuge. He's my dwelling place. And of course, in the New Testament, it's the Lord Jesus. The Messiah has come. The Christ has come. The Anointed One has come to save the world, and he reigns. He's already taken that place of rulership over, as Revelation says, over all the kings of the earth. Verse 4, there's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God. Isn't that a wonderful, just think about that for a moment, a river. There's a river that makes glad. Now, we have another reference again in the New Testament that I think helps give us some understanding of what this river is. He who believes in me, as the Spirit has said, these are Jesus, or as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I sort of got in a couple of your stream of water this morning. It reminded me of my own need and the rest that I have. Seeing what you have been through is a reminder to me that there is truly a stream, a river that makes glad the city of God. Now, where is the city of God? Is it a geographic location? Many would think so. Well, there's a particular place that God is looking for to dwell. There's a particular place where he will manifest his presence. Is this scriptural? Well, I think that place, we must remember, it's where any two or three of his children are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. He is drawn to us because we meet in his name. The holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High, Here they were thinking of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. That's where God dwelt. They saw the Shekinah, they saw the cloud over that, and they said, well, there's where God is. Now this morning, I don't know if you, how your heart was touched by our time breaking bread. Maybe it was a little flat. We need to pray about that. We need to pray the Lord will quicken us. But brothers and sisters, that cloud of presence, the glory of the Lord, rested on our hearts. It's not something physical. It can be, but most of the time it's not. It's something that we take by faith, that Jesus said, I, wherever you are, I am there with you when you're in their meeting in my name. God is in the midst of her. You'll notice that the tabernacle changes from a building to a what? To a her. Did you get that? There's a little shift. So the tabernacle, a physical tent, becomes a her. So this is not really a physical tabernacle. This is a living person who in the singular is called a her. I believe, of course, it's the bride of Christ. It's the wife of the Lamb. It's every believer. And this is not something that is a future day. Certainly in its fullness, it will come in a future day. But brothers and sisters, we are the wife of the Lamb. Even right now, we're a little messed up. Many of us, we need help. We feel our weakness, but we are his bride. We are the her in this picture. I hope this gives you encouragement. You may not be married to a man right now, and I'm married now, but every one of us are married to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his wife, his beloved. We belong to no one else in his eyes. Now, our eyes are drawn by pretty glittery things out there in the world. We get distracted. We need his help to stay focused. We need his grace to follow, to help us to be faithful. And we need to pray for one another for this. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. That means when the earth is moving, we don't have to move. When the mountains are being moved, right now there's a great tumult on this planet. Let me tell you, one of the things that's most disturbing besides cruise missiles, it's the amount of lying that is going on. Satan is a liar and a murderer. Those are from Jesus' own mouth. He's a liar and a murderer even from the beginning. You want to know how to pray for our country and for the world? Pray the truth will make a breakthrough. Amen. And it must begin with us. Yeah. Am I living a lie? Am I living a falsehood? Am I somehow not being true? Now, this is a reflection for all. That's why we got Salah here. That's a reflection for all of us. Lord, help me to be truthful. Help me to be a true disciple of Christ. God is in the midst of her and shall help her just at the break of dawn. Now, I looked this up and tried to, well, what does that mean? Because they use a lot of pictures. You know what I think it is? He helps us just in the nick of time. God is never late. He's never late. He also isn't early, but he's never late. We think he's late because we feel discomfort. We feel discouragement. But God is never late, brothers and sisters. Just at the break of dawn. That's the idea. The nations rage. The kingdoms were moved. This is the world we live in. They rage. This country is raging. Canada, countries we didn't even imagine as raging for all kinds of reasons. Wanting power, money, they're raging. But the Lord, brothers and sisters, he is faithful. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. Now, what's another way of putting that in the Hebrew? Let's see how good your Hebrew is. The Lord is with us. What's another Hebrew word for that? Huh? Say it. Somebody said it. Emmanuel. You know, very often we look for just the word Emmanuel. We forget to that word, if you look it up, the phrase, the string of words, it's Emmanuel. This is, by the way, mentioned a lot in the Old Testament. O land of Emmanuel, is what Moses said. Isn't that wonderful? He was referring to God's people. O land of Emmanuel. Land of God, who God is with. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. Now, this is a strange mystery to us, but the Lord makes desolations. This is why our patience and waiting for him is so important. We shouldn't be disturbed, and I mean it. I should not be disturbed. He will make desolations. There's a lot of wickedness that needs his. He's a God of righteousness. We want it to be sort of a millennial, you know, the lion lies down with the wolf. Brothers and sisters, that day's coming, but I don't think it's going to come for us until we go home to be with him. We should settle this a little more now. We are going to be in a tumultuous world until we go home to be with him. We need to arm ourselves with this. Yet throughout this psalm, I'm with you. He makes desolations in the earth. I shouldn't be surprised by it. In fact, I'm very blessed as an American. I've never heard bombs going off in my neighborhood. I've heard a few gunshots, especially on holidays. Now you hear them even more. You just hope that they're not pointing it directly. And I remember one time in Whittier, I think it was New Year's, I was in the backyard. The kids were just babies, and people were shooting off shotguns, I could tell. And I got under my tree. I stepped out. I just wanted to hear all the celebration. And I heard boom, boom. And I'm standing under the tree, and it sounded like rain coming through the leaves. It was the pellets from the 12-gauge shotgun. I hightailed it for the house. I said, what am I doing out here? He makes desolations in the earth. We are seeing it right now. I wish we weren't. This thing in Ukraine has kept me up a couple times this week, thinking of God's people. And then wondering, I wonder how well a 68-year-old overweight fat guy would do going over there to help. It's out of my hands. But there's desolation. Yet the Lord has some purpose in it. The revelation of the wickedness, as Bob shared, of not just men, but all of us, what we're all capable of. But he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. These, of course, are archaic pictures of old armies. But armies are armies. Armies are made to do two things: break things and kill people. Doesn't matter if it's with a chariot or with a cruise missile. It's all the same. It's devastating. Now, in the midst of this, if you have heard these words of the purpose of an army, look what verse 10 says. Be still and know that I am God. Now may the Lord give each and every one of us a greater, deeper peace that Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. We often talk highfalutin, as a dear brother once used to say to us, highfalutin words about peace and joy. Do I really have it? Do I really, truly have it? You won't know if you have peace until you're in the middle of a disaster. Peace doesn't come because everything's, the bank account's right, the car's right, you're handsome, young, and all that. It comes actually when peace comes, real peace, Jesus's peace that he's talking about, comes when things are a big problem. May we lay hold of this. May we be patient, patiently waiting for him. We're in his hands. We belong to him. And then in verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. There it is again, Emmanuel. How many times does the Lord have to tell us that? You know, he repeats it over and over. What do you think he's trying to tell us? I'm with you. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Salah. Think about it. Let's pray. Father, we are the people of the book. May we live up to it. You have gotten yourself a people